wonder if God got a plan for everyone. I wonder if I could take a second run. 'Cause I carry on getting sad and getting stuck. What I wouldn't give for a life that doesn't suck. I'm a moving target.
It's Riley, Doozy Mail. Heard about in our previous podcast episode together. Today's episode is going to be called The Effects, and we will go into as much detail as we can, but I do like to mention that these are our experiences and therefore not the same for everyone else. So, to be clear, any thing that we discuss in this episode is strictly our experiences only, and therefore should not be misconstrued as the same for everyone. So I say, so if you haven't checked out the previous episode about missing teenagers, do please give that a listen. I will share it among friends if possible. Also, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @sppodcast_. With all that being said, let's jump back in. So, the number one thing about the present for me, it's not recognizable. Even to the most trained eyes, it can still go unnoticed. Because the thing with depression is a lot more complex than you might think. And I know that, like, professionals in the field like to say that, you know, depression is this, that, this, and the other. Whilst when you go deeper in, it presents itself in many forms. And, you know, if you think of, as an example, the Joker, like if you take Heath Ledger's Joker and you compare that to Joaquin Phoenix's, they're vastly different.
Yeah, two very different.
It's more maniacal.
That's in the Joker.
And Joaquin Phoenix's Joker is more of a...
This is more of a slow process.
Yeah, slow process,
but
yeah.
He ends up, like, turning into Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yeah.
In the end.
But
you see these certain moments that mould him into losing his mind.
Yeah.
And all of those moments will... The way the guy is living...
Yeah.
It's an absolute crapple, and you think... Living conditions have got something massively to do with mental health. Come here.
Yeah, sorry about this.
Sorry, we've got my dog with me today.
Yeah.
Sit down.
Yeah.
Right, and when it comes to living... Stop it. God's sake. When it comes down to living conditions, it's got... Made fun of him, even his supposedly friends. So it was kind of like a slow turn, you know, and you saw him snap. It was really
depression can last for days, weeks, even possibly months.
Even years.
Depending on the severity.
Some people lose their life over it.
And I feel now that the highest rate among the youth got a high definitely in normal everyday routine walking around. And what he said to his joker showed was obviously, you know, he was, let's just say he was like on the end. He had completely lost it and became one with depression itself. Like they messed. Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, he still had that human side to him, but he was slowly being taken over because everyone around him judged him. His social worker didn't, you know, offer him help or whatever, you know. And, you know, obviously, you know, the makeup, because obviously the makeup added, especially in that one scene where he's in front of the mirror, he's putting on a mask.
It's time.
Putting on a mask.
Yes, smart, yeah.
But really, that's a force, but you see the effect. And it is a film, so they do have some license of being theatrical at times.
Yeah, but the thing is, but, right, what we've got to make clear here is, yeah, it is a film, but that can happen.
Yeah, it can happen.
He's lost all sense of being. And when your mind turns against you, and again, you know, I can vouch for this because it's happening to me. It's happening to me right now. The moment you stop talking to those people, the moment you stop doing the things that you enjoy, the moment you pause for 1 second and you have that window of opportunity to not be doing anything at all, could be a minute, could be two, could be five, it comes back and it's there once again. So it's like a constant battle for keeping yourself distracted. If you are in a house and you like to play music, then that's going to be your distraction. There's a guy on my street who lives alone. His wife died many years ago. His children have grown up now and moved out. And you hear him playing music really loudly. I know why he does that. Because the guy's hurting.
Yeah.
He's trying to distract himself. I don't want to hear the depression, the beast talking to me.
Yeah.
I just want to keep being distracted. So, but there's that, always that little space in time where it creeps back in. It never leaves.
No, it doesn't.
And that's why a lot of people commit suicide. That's why a lot of people, sadly, leave this earth, leave this world. They can't do it anymore. They're tired, they're jaded. And here's the thing, I can't be dealing with people who say it's the coward way out. I can't be dealing with people who say it's the easy way out. No, there's no easy way in anything. There's no coward here. There's no coward at all. Unless the person, human being, has killed lots of people, all of a sudden they're found in, going to be put on death row, or somebody's found in that's going to do harm to him, or he's going to be put in prison for many years, and he kills himself. Okay. okay, you screwed up, and in many ways it's
gonna what,
or is that just losing your will?
Help, but a lot of the time it's probably not good. And that's what leads to people committing suicide. Like that drummer of Linkin Park.
Chester Bennington.
Yeah, he asked for help numerous times.
Chester.
Yeah.
Yeah. He asked it.
He asked for help for a minute of time. And he wasn't answered. And he wasn't given help.
You know,
he was asking for it, but then he was talking his own life. Right, so, you know, on the one hand, you could say that you should have done more. Okay, playing devil's advocate, yeah, that's fair enough. But on the other hand, but also, you could say that there's clearly not enough social workers, there's not enough mental health services available. So there's, you know, possibly two arguments there. But having said that, going down that route is not cowardice. Because believe it or not, it takes a lot more strength to kill yourself than to hold on.
Than it just, yeah.
And I know that for a fact because I've tried it so many times. Right, and
I so have I. I've tried it a few times, and you know what? Anyway, when you're in that state of mind, we care about you, we are there for you, talk to us if you need to. They can say that as much as they want, but here's the thing.
When that person has lost faith in themselves, will to live.
Because it is.
When someone, a member of the family says we love you, it's not that mental illness, they're completely riddled us, and we can, in many ways, if we're from, if for no reason, because we're probably at a point where we try to keep it on a hold,
yeah.
But it boils and boils, and we sometimes leave our lab. And although from, you know, your family's perspective, it may come off as personal. It may come off as if we've offended you for no reason. And yeah, I will say that, yeah, you're right. But the thing is, that's how it works, unfortunately.
That's how it works.
Mental health is a son of a gun. And you could have the most amazing day. Right in the world.
Yeah.
Right. You could have gotten married. You and your wife or girlfriend could have expected your first child. But within a split second of that,
you could have the best job in the
yeah.
world.
But within a split second of that, the mist descends. And you could be in the labour room with your wife or girlfriend just having given labour. Right, and you've been there for God knows how long. Right, you're happy when you hold him or her, but then the mist descends Right, and then if I go back
and,
to the city.
And you have a, and you have every doubt that you can ever have.
Yeah.
Will I be, I'm not going to be a good father. I'm not going to be able to, I'm not going to, this, my son won't look up to me as a good father. This, my son won't be this, my daughter won't be that, my daughter won't like me, my daughter is going to end up like this. And there's never a positive thought.
No.
When you have this, this disease. So I'm going to call it disease, because it is disease.
Yeah.
Right? No positive thought will ever come into your head. You can act as much as you want. You can say as much as you want. You can try and please people as much as you want. It's not gonna, there will become a time when you will break.
Yeah.
And you start to cry, or you start to feel really low, and then all of a sudden you don't want to talk to anybody. I know how that feels.
Yeah.
I've been feeling it for months now, so
it's like, I mean, it's like a slight, like, just going off topic for a quick second. This is why I'm
you know, I'm struggling with, do I want kids or not? Because, and maybe in another episode I'll go into detail of my past. I'm on the edge of wanting kids or not is because I don't want them to suffer through me.
They'll think they'll inherit your...
Yeah, or inherit, which, yeah. But this is why I'm suffering with the heart thing. You know, because, you know, obviously, as you do, you want to have... You know, I'm
always...
Why not? Do I want kids? Why not? And, you know, that's one of the reasons why. And, what you were talking about,
we have so
much to contend with depression, mental health and other illnesses that we have, that is exhausting. It is exhausting. And I'll put it in perspective, like, if you look at your oil tank in your car, and you fill it up, right? Let's say that's full, and you know, you go to look at it again, and it's like 1%. That's how, for me, depression feels. It's a constant battle of going forward, knowing that you've got reserves there. Those reserves are being burned. So effectively, you've got a net bank of zero. And that's an everyday thing. Another side effect of depression is your body aches.
Yeah, I can. I can.
And on top of that, you also have to struggle or contend with having either sleeping or sleeping bed.
Number of things to juggle.
And this is not taken away from our son.
The mentality skills. Never wanted.
And they're still working for 50 hours a week. Or even more, depending on which position you hold. In the hospital.
What?
But alongside that, look, when I go to bed, like first of all, I don't even turn my bedroom light on because I like the darkness. Like, I have my bedroom
curtains
open. Stay. No. Stay there. Sit.
You know.
Good boy.
I hate the light. I'm starting to sound like a vampire, but not really. I prefer darkness. That's because that's what I'm used to. Right? Now, in terms of waking up, I don't want to, but it's... But
I don't want to wake up either.
None of us wants to wake up, but we have to, because otherwise our day doesn't start. But unfortunately, we might... sleeping pattern, which is not like the normal person. I'm sometimes up for 8 hours, and I'm still going, I'm still pushing along. Self-care or work, but, you know, constantly just,
you know, copying.
They can leave that week. I can leave, but mentally I can't leave because I feel what the voice is. Like, it's that escapism. And a lot of the time, escapism will be one. It's not that we want to do hard work or possibly go down the route of, you know, committing suicide. The pain can sometimes be so unbearable for some people that, you know, one minute we could feel sorry for someone who's in the hospital, who's got stage 4 cancer. And we could think they've got it tough. Why am I over here?
I think about that all the time when I'm at work.
But on the flip side of that, we've got the other side. Like, I still want to go ahead and do it. You know, so it's a fine balance.
When I'm at work, right, I work as a healthcare assistant and I work on a clinic. And that clinic, people are coming in for, these are outpatients. They're coming in for their...
But now you might hate this, but if you do, you know, it's the way it's a free talking podcast, you know, and this is my opinion, and a lot of the times it is true. But sadly, a lot of people, it goes unrecognized. Depression is, for me, another form of cancer. Now, the reason why I say this is because cancer eats away at your organs, and your weight loss is just incredibly quick, and you are suddenly left like skin and bone in your twilight days of staying alive. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen on cancer wards, where they've gone through a lot of chemotherapy, and they're just a shadow of their former self, and they just don't look like themselves at all, and their skin is just, anyway, I'll spare you the details, but. What does that sound like to you? Huge amounts of weight loss, eating away at your insides. What does that sound like to you?
Depression?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't eat away at your organs. It eats away at your emotions.
Yeah.
It eats away at your happiness. It eats away at your excitement. It eats away at your dreams. It eats away at your... at every single pleasantry that you have in your life. It eats away and it just... leaves you as this... statue of a person. This robot of a person. And all of a sudden your eyes may look alive. And then all of a sudden they look lifeless. Mine look lifeless now. Mine look not just life, they look tired, they look exhausted, because I'm exercising every day up here. And when you're exercising, you grow tired, don't you?
Yeah.
But instead of endorphins being released, it's not endorphins, it's the complete and utter opposite.
Yeah.
Now, what I just said there is quite controversial. Because it is controversial. Comparing anything to cancer is controversial. Because cancer is the most vicious thing, disease to die from. Causes so much pain, causes so much, you know, to have that is just, it can decapitate a family. But that's what depression does too. That's what it does as well. It decapitates a family. It leaves that person to isolate from others because they feel worthless. They want to try and protect others. They want to try and move people away because they don't want them to feel what they feel. And if they tell the person how they're feeling, they're scared that that person will get so concerned that they'll end up feeling the same way as them.
Yeah.
That's what depression does. And when you're depressed and when it lasts for so long, it can turn into bipolar. And that is something that I probably have now because it's gone on for so long that it's completely screwed up my brain. It's rewired it in ways that it shouldn't be rewired. And it's turned me into this emotionless, cold-hearted person who just doesn't seem to care much anymore.
Yeah.
And that's how I am. I mean, you know.
It's like, if we look at people who have passed, we'll leave it to the people in the limelight who have recently passed. Like we had Keith Floyd, who did the Fast Daughter song. We've had.
But you're on about Pedigree.
Yeah, Pedigree. We've had obviously the most notable, Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger. We also had that woman, or what's her name? The one who used to do Big Brother. Presenter, Caroline Flack.
Yeah, that was bad though, because she was getting abused by the media. She took her own life, didn't she?
And you also had, who was that song? Who was that pop star? You did Love Is a Losing Game. Amy Winehouse.
But did she die of depression or was it just drugs?
I think it was either suicide or drugs, I can't remember. But
or might be drugs by suicide. But you know, she...
But she suffered from depression as well.
Yeah.
So, you know...
Kurt Cobain?
Yeah, Kurt Cobain.
Elvis Presley's son.
Yeah. Apparently, I don't know if this is true, but apparently he died whilst on the toilet. I don't know how true that is, because there's a lot of flipping fake stuff out there. But anyway, but those are just a few that I can remember. Obviously, we could go way back, but obviously I wasn't born in that era, obviously. I grew up in the 90s. So they're more recent for me. But you can see a trickle effect. And I don't think it is controversial to say that depression is like cancer. Because they both work in the same way. Obviously, one's more virulent and more destroying to the body, which cancer is, unfortunately. But depression does the same, but the opposite. It destroys your brain, and it attacks.
Takes over.
You know, while that happens, and you don't know that's happening, do you think you're prodding along, getting on with life, right? But all the while, you know, when you're asleep, like, also, I can never switch off. I find it really difficult to switch off. It takes a lot for me, for my brain, to switch off. That's why I'm always up, because I'm always having to do something. And that's a curse. Because it's that voice, it's that voice in your head,
isn't
it?
You can't
slow down. Feeding more.
Yeah.
It's like a film. Where you rip someone, looking after a plan. It's like feeding me more.
Little Shop of Horrors. Shop of Horrors, yeah.
Feed me more, I want more. And that's the voice in the head. I want more material. I want to go to bed. No, fuck you, feed me more. And that's how it is. And that's why, you know, for me, because obviously, you know, Aidan's got a different sleep schedule than me, a better one than me, because I'm, you know, because I'm normally up till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and then I fall asleep. Right? But I'm always constantly on the move. I can never sit still. But I can sit still, but not mentally. And that is tough. Especially if you're trying to build a relationship with a woman. Mm. Right, you're going on a date, you like go to the movies, right? You wanna be there. But mentally, you're somewhere else. And then she notices it, or maybe doesn't.
And she thinks that you're not interested.
Yeah, and there's a whole myriad of things. You know, you could go away for 2 days with your family. Well, that would be hell. That's going to be hell for everyone. Right? Like, we went away once with our former best friends.
Years ago,
and we were in a campervan site, and we were both sleeping in the same room in separate beds.
Yeah.
And even that was a struggle. I mean, we weren't getting pissed off with each other, although we did have an argument, but
yeah,
that was sorted.
There was a lot of arguments.
Yeah, but even that got to us. And by week two, towards the end of week one, we were like getting fed up to the point where we wanted to leave. Mm. And again, it's that escapism. We know we can't escape our mind, but we just want to escape so that it's a different scene, a different scenario. Or we just want to be somewhere where we can actually be by ourselves and not have, you know, people nagging over stupid stuff or whatever, just meaningless.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that sort of escapism. Now, like you said in the beginning, you know, going down the route of taking your own life is not cowardice. And, you know, the only people that I've witnessed that say that are keyboard warriors on the internet who hide behind, you know, a fake picture or whatever. And in my opinion, that's no. Because, as I said, it takes more strength to commit suicide than it does to hold on. But it's a fine line, because there's a fine line, and there's only a small window where there's only enough time for you to get help and for that help to arrive before you reach that point, or they arrive too late and you've done. Right? Like, there was a public figure on Facebook, right, and he was doing a live video. And his dog died.
Oh my God! Live video.
Right, his dog died. He was upset, and he jumped off his balcony whilst still on live video on Facebook because his dog died.
And it took him.
And I don't know what else transpired.
It wouldn't have been that. It wouldn't have been just that.
But
the thing is, when
he jumped off and he videoed it, like, and it was so loud on Facebook. And, you know, that's why I say you depression or mental health manifests in different ways.
It's a disease.
And it will attack you no matter what.
The thing is, right, his dog died, and
yes, there would have been
so many things to build up with that, but it only takes one more thing.
The tire on top.
And that was that. And that would have done anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need much myself, to be honest with you. We was talking about this on the way up here, and to be honest, and I'll be honest with you, I still feel that way.
Yeah.
I still feel like that, and I'm always going to feel this way. But if something was to happen to something or somebody, that would tip me over the edge, and I would do it. Yeah, I would. You know, but I'm considering it now. You know, and this is a deep conversation again. You know, if you're listening to this, then there's a lot more to come. But
yeah.
it's just, this is just how I feel. It's, and I can vouch for the pain that people feel. I feel so much pain in my head, constant noise, constant screams and cries and everything else. It's always there. That's what depression is. But that's the late stage of depression.
Yeah.
I'm in the late stages. I'm in the stages where it's dangerous.
Yeah, it's like if we were to put it into stages, like there's stage one, then there's stage two, stage three, stage four, stage five. And there's possibly a stage six.
If you make it that.
If you make it, with maybe intervention. But before we go on, if you are struggling, and as you're watching this, and you really need help, then please do ring Samaritans on 116 123. There is help out there. It just means that you have to have.
It's raining, your battery pack.
It just means that you may have to and get the help that you need. So I don't want anyone to feel, you know, triggered in this conversation. So if you are struggling, then do please get help. Ring the mountains or ring your local GP.
Yes.
But, you know, because as I said in the beginning, this is just our experiences, and this is a podcast where we talk about stuff in its raw form. So, you know, if we say some things that you're not pleased about or anything, then we did warn you in the beginning. So,
yes, we did.
You know.
Deep conversation.
But, yeah, it's like, yeah, as we were walking up here, you know, we had a conversation, one which, you know, I'm not going to mention because it's private, and it's never going to leave my lips, but it was a conversation that was deep, and almost melodic in its tone. The conversation, it didn't shock me at all because I understand, and you know, you can say anything to me, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I'm gonna give you a straight answer, you know,
that's
honest.
Why I do it, that's why I say.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times that's all that everyone wants, really. They just want someone to talk to. It may not necessarily sway their decision. They may still go through it. They may think on it, and they may enact on it later on. But when we were talking about getting help, help isn't already there, and when help is your last hope, I want to say, and no help is out there, or you can't get hold of anyone, then, and you've exhausted everything else possible within your circumstances, unfortunately, 9 times out of 10, you commit suicide. Either by pure addiction, alcohol, or thirdly, by a gun, or hanging.
Or jumping off.
Or jumping off, whatever. Right?
Like that slip, like that public figure.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it was high.
Yeah, high. There was his balcony was there, and in the distance there was like a waterfall.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
But yeah. Also, the effects of depression is harm.
Self-harm.
Self-harm. Right? Now, there's self-harm as in...
Stereotypical.
Slit your wrists.
Yeah, slit your wrists.
Right? But that's not the only self-harm. So the other self-harm is abusing yourself with words.
I do that.
You inflict pain on yourself.
I do that.
You... possibly drink alcohol to numb the pain. That's abuse. I should know because I've done it once. There's many forms of self-harm or harm in general, and you know, I know, and yes, everyone thinks about the stereotypical self-harm, but even that, but even people who do that, they don't do it and all of a sudden it's visible. Because where I used to work, in a supermarket called Sainsbury's, and there was another colleague there. I never knew him on a personal level. I heard from someone else that he was struggling with mental health. I said, no, this person didn't say that to me because no one knew. Because he came to work happy,
yep,
listened to music. Well, one day after work, he clocked out because we used one of those clocking in and out machines. So he clocked out, he went home, and on the way home, he committed suicide.
What did he do?
Don't know. I don't know the details. All I know is that he committed suicide. He was struggling for months, for weeks, but no one knew. Because he already came to work, happy. Again.
Putting a mask on.
That's what Joaquin Phoenix's Joker was. Right?
Until it was too late.
Until it was too late. And that's what we do. Because the last thing we want is that we can inflict as much pain as we want to ourselves.
That's a pretty thing.
Inflict as much pain as we want to ourselves. But we do it in certain places. We're not gonna do it where it's visible. Right? 9 times out of 10, people who cut themselves do it in places where they can hide it. Like on their forearm, when they wear long sleeve hoodies, legs.
Well, a lot of people do it on the wrist, but then they wear long sleeves.
Yeah. But right, so it's not really visible.
Yeah.
Right, and we have to be careful because obviously, you know, self-harm and mental health in general is a tricky subject sometimes to tackle, especially if the person doesn't really know. the science to look out for, or they personally don't want to approach the subject, which, you know, I understand. You know, a lot of the times, you know, if someone says to me, "Are you okay?" A lot of the times, I don't want to say anything, because most of the time, when someone says, "Oh, are you okay?" they don't really want to know. They don't really want to know how you are feeling. They're just saying, "Are you okay?" Right? And even the people, who have turned to me and said, "Are you okay?" like in a concerning voice or whatever, I still haven't said or told them how I'm feeling, because, and I will admit this, you know, I'm not very good at opening up, and I keep a lot of stuff to myself. Even to this day, I still keep a lot of stuff to myself. And if I have stuff on my mind that I want to get off my chest, I don't. You know, and I'm abusing myself. That's abuse right there. Right? But the thing I've learned is to open up, but only open up when I feel comfortable. Right? And I don't just open up to anyone. Right?
No, it's like me, you know, you can open up to me, right?
Yeah. I open up to people closest to me. Right? Now my family members, right, may not understand. Like, my mum understands mental health, right? She understands that I suffer with depression. She knows that I have suicidal thoughts, because I've told her. I suspect I have bipolar, which I'm going to get checked up on. Also, it's important to note that if you struggle with a certain mental health issue, or you suspect you have a mental health condition, then by all means, do one of those self-assessment forms online. But be aware, that's not 100%. So if you do feel like you have a mental health illness, then do please contact your local GP and, you know, but, go down that route.
Yeah, but the difficult thing is, right?
But the thing is, it's getting the appointment.
Yeah, but the other difficult thing is, it's having the energy.
Yeah.
That's another thing about depression. That's what everybody needs to know about depression. When you have it, when you have it, your energy is low on fumes, like you said. So even speaking to people, even talking to GP, even trying to unveil these things is difficult.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the energy for it. And that's with me. That's why I've got to the point now where, I mean, I've got some groups that I can talk to, you know, the Sanctuary, the Tomorrow People. I ring the Samaritans when I can. But again, you know, the moment you put the phone down, the moment you just not talking anymore and it's just quiet.
Yeah.
You feel alone again. The thing is about talking to a GP is, do they fully understand?
And that's the thing. And also, that you have to be mindful of, and you may not know this, you may do, but there's a lot of doctors who, you know, the thing with prescription is, a lot of doctors abuse the system and prescribe drugs to, you know,
just everyone.
Just everyone. right? So, but in terms of doctors, I'm thankful in that my doctor understands, and I don't have to go over everything. I just tell her what how I'm feeling. You know, I bring something up to her. You know, she assesses it, right, and then she gets back to me or whatever. So I'm thankful in that, because it took me a long time to find an actual doctor who actually fucking listens. So I'm thankful for that. So I'm lucky that not everyone is that fortunate. But no matter how your GP is, right, they should still do their job. And if you need help, and let's say for instance you need a diagnosis. Now obviously in adults it's a lot harder to get a diagnosis, unfortunately. It's a lot easier in kids, right? With that system needs an overhaul, but anyway, that's a different topic. But if you need a diagnosis and your GP gives you a self-referral, say no. Because actually it's a doctor's, you know, job to refer you to the chosen facility. So if you are suspecting an illness or mental health, or you suspect you have bipolar or another form of depression, then do please contact your GP, and if they give you a self-referral form or number, just say, can you do it for me? Because I shouldn't have to do it, which is true. Because you recently had that, didn't you? A self-referral.
Yep.
And when you're already struggling with depression and you're tired and exhausted, the last thing you want to do...
Fill out a form.
It's fill out a form.
Yep. That's what I had to do. And yeah. I gave up. Because I couldn't do it. There was about 7 pages.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just thought, I can't be dealing with this. So I just gave up. You know?
So I'll come to you because I'm struggling with something, or I suspect I've got something. But I've got a self-referral myself. What is the point? Right? And... Again, I know that's a whole different issue, right, but let's get back on topic because I'm known for my tangents. Depression, as depression blossoms, in its early stages, depression is, how would you describe, like the early stage of depression is, there's nothing to it. It's not as evasive.
If you've got a wall filled with happy, vibrant colours, and you've got a little black splodge in it, that's the start of it.
Yeah. What example can I give?
And then all of a sudden, another black spot appears.
Yeah.
And then another black spot, spot appears. And it keeps going on and on, and all of a sudden they get bigger and bigger and bigger until it's taken over.
Yeah. It's like, think of like depression as an early stage. Let me use an example of Good Morning Vietnam, the opening, where Robin Williams is in the radio station and he's like, Good Morning Vietnam.
Good morning.
Right, you've still got a pep in your step. Right, you've still got your enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. You've still got your drive. Right, because it hasn't seeped in yet.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, it's a good film. And then you get into... So that's the pre-stage of going into stage one, let's say. Then you get into stage two. That's the start, the culmination of it really sinking its teeth in. It's wrapping itself around every nervous system.
Not yet.
But that's a combination.
It's starting to get stronger.
And then you move on to stage three, and then slowly, slowly, it gets more of a grip until you're like, hang on a minute. Because you can't physically see it. No. I don't look in the mirror and try and see it because it's not seeable. Right, I'll give you another example. Venom. The film. Think that you've got a venom in you, and it comes out. obviously not like in the film, because that would be weird.
Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah. But it's like that. And when you get, and as you get higher and higher in the stages, you get to a point where you are that exhausted that you almost don't recognise the signs anymore, because it's taken over us so much that you're just going through the motion.
Like you.
And that's dangerous in itself.
That's not like you.
Well, you hear me. but you know, and you know, then you start to not associate yourself. You don't recognise yourself. You have this vacuous feeling from your eyes. You know, you almost look not a lot, but you almost look ghostly in your face because you're not all there, right? And it's like, and even though as we were talking on the way up here, I battled every day to keep myself grounded. You know, I do everything like self-care, meditation, anything to distract myself, which I do. And it's important to, you know, have a self-care routine that works for you. It doesn't always work. Doesn't always work, which is why I have to sometimes try other stuff. But it's the only way I know how to combat the voices in my head. Because, you know, I'll be honest, I don't want to be another victim. I don't want to be another number on the list. You know, I want to go out at the right time. Right? Now, obviously, you know, that's possibly wishful thinking. Because you never know what happens. Something will happen tomorrow. Tomorrow I could get hit by a bus or a truck. You don't know. Which is why I take it one day at a time.
Depression might get too much for you.
Exactly. You know, like, I currently take medication. Now, that medication doesn't work. It never did in the beginning, but it's been a habit that I've been on for over a year that I do it because it's, I don't want to say it's a safety net, but it's a lesser precaution. Knowing that, let's say I don't want to do what I want to do. Like my self-care, right? And I just want to totally relax, watch a film,
yeah,
or whatever, play a video game. But I just put my music on. Now the music could be like rock, it could be symphonic, it could be
soul,
R&B, whatever the mood takes me. Right. Or I could do meditation and go off into another realm. That is all pretty bluntly so now. Well, and that will work for a while. But then I have to make sure that I'm on top. And even going out like we are, right, a nice day in the park. You know, having this conversation, right? This all seems fine, seems lovely, seems like we're having a great time. But really, I'll speak for myself, but really I'm just thinking, can we like just leave? Because I'm getting antsy. But it's that uncomfortability. That's how depression makes you feel. If someone comes near you, you almost recoiled back like a snake. Right, except the snake, when a snake recoils back, is we're getting ready to attack.
You're getting ready to leave.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to leave, yeah. Right, but that is the effects of depression.
Low self-esteem,
or an almost lack of emotion. going on. You could possibly have, I don't know, a hard time forming relationships because of it.
Or keeping them.
I mean, I was in a relationship for a year. Wasn't a good one. I did moments. Don't get me wrong.
You're
in a bad. I did good times. Don't get me wrong.
This was years ago now.
Yeah. But since then I've been single because it's enabled me to really focus on myself, on my mental health. But if you are in a relationship and your partner is understanding,
and you've got it good,
then you know you both can work at it together.
Yep.
You can even show him or her the process of how you start your day routine. Show her how it affects you, that sort of thing. Or if not, make sure that you've got a support network. It doesn't have to be a load of friends. It could be your friend you've had since you were in primary school. Like, someone to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, next door neighbour. Call up your son, your daughter. But always have someone to talk to on hand. Because if you can't get the help, then at least you will have the ability to contact someone who you know will be there to pick up the phone. Because it's really important, especially within 24 hours or within hours of like the first like episode, it's really important to either do grounding techniques, reach into your toolbox, or pick up a phone and douse some mountains, right, or your friend. They don't have to, you know, listen to you. They could talk about anything. Or it could be that, or you could be lusting after that one voice that you haven't heard from. It's something that takes your mind off. But, as I said, this is our experience of dealing with depression.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to leave it off on? Is there anything you want to promote? Or?
Well, I mean, I'm with a podcast called the 80s Podcast with Addy from Addybiotics. That's his YouTube channel, Addybiotics. You can follow him on YouTube and Instagram and Twitter, the same name, Addybiotics. And with the other podcast, with the podcast I'm on, the 80s, AATS. The T stands for Tala, and the two A's stand for mine and Addy's names. It's called the 80s because we were born in the 80s, and on Tuesdays we talk about the 80s. On Thursdays, we talk about modern day movie and TV. And on Saturdays, we do a Motivational Saturday. So it's kind of like a multi-concept podcast.
Yeah.
But we did our 7th episode yesterday, which was a lot of fun. It was Motivational Saturday, and we spoke about the dangers of the comfort zone, which was a very intriguing thing to talk about. We haven't got any podcasts up on the platforms yet, but we will be on Apple Podcasts, Anchor FM, and Spotify. We'll be on multiple podcast platforms. We're looking to grow our following and discussing more and venturing out into new spaces. So it's going to be interesting, and we hopefully will have you on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're currently doing a backlog, like, of episodes. So that, you know, so that they're not having to respect, you know, constantly
catch up. You know,
but
Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays are the days that we do, and when we do start releasing, the first one will be 80s Revisited. Thursday will be Monday Movie and TV Madness, or Monday Movie Madness, whichever we choose. And Saturday will be Motorways Original Saturday. And each one we describe a new topic.
Yeah.
So that's my plug.
So, thank you for listening, joining us today. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at S3Podcast_.
What is your next episode about, anyway? Do you want to plug your next episode?
My next episode, this Monday, will be covering the Ronald Green story, where this barber was violently beaten down by a police officer in the chokehold position. So that will be coming out on Monday. I will get that recorded tonight or tomorrow, and that will be out at either 5 p.m. tomorrow or midnight tonight, which is Monday. But I will keep it posted. Again, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at S3Podcast_. And until the next one, have a great day. See you later.
Stay safe, guys. See you soon. That's good. That's good. We're all right about what we say about it, aren't we?
I wonder if God got a plan for everyone. I wonder if I could take a second run. 'Cause I carry on getting sad and getting stuck. What I wouldn't give for a life that doesn't suck. I'm a moving target.